Hello, and thanks for joining us for Soulpreneur Sessions. I'm your host, Yvette Luciano, helping you live your purpose, lift your platform, and leap into prosperity. If you want a career, business, and life that feels good on the inside, not just looks good on the outside, then you are in the right place. Welcome home. We are thrilled to have you here.
Hello, and welcome to this episode that's going to be a really beautiful one with someone who many of you will already be very familiar with, Rachel McDonald, who is a writer, coach, speaker, and she guides passion-fueled women out of fear and uncertainty and into lives, blogs, and businesses that they love and truly desire. She's also a really amazing mama of a writer who is going to be one very soon, and she has a beautiful course called Blogsted. And so welcome, Rachel. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we are really lucky to have you as a teacher in our Soulpreneur course. Although because you have so much insight to share about how we can take a really soulful approach to using social media in a way that feels good for us, but also really aligns and connects with the people in the world that we most want to help, which is why we're doing this call and this show today with you, because it's just we're going to really touch on some of the most important things when either starting social media for your career or business, as well as for people who have been doing it for a while and maybe want to sort of take a little bit of a fresh approach or really feel inspired to just kind of, you know, bring some new fresh energy into how they use social media and how they connect with their audience. So it's really exciting to have you here. And I would love for you to please start with why and how you believe that social media helps you and your business and all solopreneurs, potentially all solopreneurs' businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing is the fact that what it does is it gives you the ability to communicate directly with your audience. So you're no longer speaking to them, which I think a lot of traditional media is literally, you know, we're consuming something that is being spoken to us. On social media, it's about a conversation. So we're sort of having this conversation with our audience and they're responding back. So I think that relationship building and that personalization is just the biggest strength of social media, and I'm so grateful that we have that opportunity to do so. For me personally, and I think any solopreneur listening, the ability to gain feedback is an absolute gift. So when I'm creating content, when I'm creating products, I can go through from the very beginning straight through to the end or the feedback afterwards. I can go to my audience and ask them what they need. I can check the temperature with them. I can see what will best serve them. And I think that's just such a valuable gift for all of us who have social media platforms. And the other thing I think is also the ease of sharing. So obviously social media is designed to share and connect far and wide. It's sort of the key, the foundation of social media. So when we are creating blog posts or content for our business, the fact that we can put it out there and there's a handy little share button that our audience can pass that on to their networks is again, such a valuable gift for us.
Totally, totally. And when you mentioned about asking, you know, getting feedback from your audience, and I know that a lot of people have, I know that we all love to ask our audience, gauge what they want, gauge what we can be doing to help them and what to create for them and what they would love more of. And I know that a couple of our solopreneur students have asked in the past that they almost feel uncomfortable to ask their audience what they want because shouldn't we know? So can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think as creatives or creators, we have blind spots. You know, we all do. And I think that's This is why we have community, for people to illuminate those spots. But just something that we may have forgotten or that we may not have known based on our own experience and our own knowledge base. We, you know, we're always learning. We're always learning more, and someone may be further ahead in one thing and we might be further ahead in something else. So I think the fact that we have these very diverse audiences and being able to go to them and saying, what might I be missing? I think we're so blessed to be able to do that. And I know that it can be uncomfortable to do that the first time, particularly if you're concerned that no one may respond and you know, you might look silly putting it out there. But you've got everyone start somewhere. And I think the more that we can encourage that feedback, particularly if we're asking for bigger feedback, so people to answer a multitude of questions, you know, it can kind of lead into that by asking questions here and there on your social media. So you might just say, you know, which do you prefer, A or B? That sort of primes the audience to start giving you feedback in that way and to start participating with your content in that way. And then when it comes down to asking them bigger things, such as, you know, what are you struggling with at the moment, or how can I best serve you, I think they're more likely to respond because they're used to interacting with you in that way.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And also I like to use the analogy of when I'm asking our audience what they would like or for their feedback about what I can create for them or give them more of that is the most helpful for them. It's kind of to me like if I'm going to a friend's place for dinner and they text me that morning going, hey, what do you feel like, or what's your favorite meal, or what would you like to have tonight? Like, to me, that actually makes me feel even more cared about and more special.
Exactly.
That they're kind of creating something just for me. So it's how we go about it. And like everything in our business, it's really the intention behind it as well, that, you know, when we're asking purely out of intention of wanting to be of greater service, then, you know, people can see that and feel that.
That's so true. And I think we're all, you know, we're all looking to be part of something, and it's really nice to feel like an integral member of someone's tribe and that they do come to you and say, you know, how can I make this better? Or what could I do that you really, really, really need? You know, what can I create for you? We all like to have a bit of ownership, and we've all got opinions to share as well. So that's such a good analogy that it does make you feel cared for when someone comes and goes, I understand, you know, I've got ideas. I've got some things that, using your example, I've got some ideas of things I want to cook you for dinner, but hey, what do you really love? What could I put on the menu that's really going to that you're really
exactly
going to love?
Exactly. Yeah. Totally. So now a lot of people can feel that social media, I know that a lot of people when they start, particularly when they're starting a business or they're starting to put themselves out there in their careers, with a personal brand, they can feel quite daunted by how much they think that they need to be on social media. And so what do you think? So there's a couple of things I'd love for us to talk about. Obviously, quality over quantity. I'd love us to talk a little bit about that. And also, you know, how much is too much with how much we're sharing and how frequently we're sharing. And so can we talk about that a little bit? What are your feelings on that?
Yeah, this is a big one because I don't think there's a specific answer to this question. I think there's a lot of trial and error. It also is, I would say, seasonal. So there's sometimes where you might just be on fire with the content creating and you've got it coming out, you know, really on a really regular basis across multiple platforms. There might be other times where you're really focused on a different area of your business. Maybe it's working with clients or a bit more of the behind the scenes stuff, creating a course or something along those lines. And you're creating less content outwardly, but you're doing other things that will be, you know, rolling out later down the track. So I think trial and error is the big one. I don't think there's a specific number of too much content versus not enough. I do think that visibility is the way that you grow a brand, and that exposure, people need to see you pretty consistently to start to tune in to what you're doing. So I guess we have to remember that we're competing, and I'm saying that in air quotes, competing. We're all running our own race, really, but we're out there with a lot of other content. So for us to build an audience, we need to be showing up pretty consistently to, I guess, show our audience the type of work that we've got to share with them. So I know that doesn't really answer that question specifically. I think you've got to see what works in with, if you're running a business, see what works in with the rest of the work that you've got on your plate, and your lifestyle and that type of thing. But I do think that there needs to be a level of consistency and visibility. You're thinking about sort of connecting those people, going out there, sharing pieces of content, and there will be different content that resonates with different people. So you need to throw a bit of it out there and see what sticks and go from there.
Totally, totally. And in your, with the years that you've been on social media and the platforms that, and communities and audiences that you've built on social media, what have you found have been, if we can get a little, I guess, specific here on what have you found are your posts that tend to have the most engagement, that people really seem to react and respond to?
For me, it is the on Instagram and Facebook, it's the mini blog post style posts, and that definitely have a storytelling angle to them. I think people like to, so there's a lot of similar content out there, and I think what sets you apart is the stories that you tell and the experience that you bring, and that's why someone will stick around and stay in your tribe. So I think any time I've ever shared a personal story, or I've woven it in with a bigger message, but I've shared something that is my personal approach to that, that always really resonates with my audience. The other posts that my audience seem to love are posts that celebrate something, whether that's a personal or business success or just something that I've learnt. And I think that really speaks to the caliber of people that I'm incredibly blessed to have in my tribe. They really rally behind me if I'm celebrating something. So again, I think this comes back to resonance. People will follow along, and you sort of build that fan base over time. It's that whole know, like, and trust factor. The more that you're putting out there, the more people start to know you. They start to then like you or love the work that you're doing, and then they trust you as well. So it sort of flows from there. But I would definitely say the storytelling works best for me.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that as well. And that's definitely been my experiences too. So, and now when we are putting ourselves out there, particularly when we're in that sort of storytelling mode, which is very different to just sort of posting a, you know, shiny quote graphic or something like that, which are great too, but when we're in this storytelling mode, and particularly when we're being a little bit more vulnerable and sharing more of ourselves, particularly if we're sharing lessons that we've learned through personal experiences, we're being quite vulnerable and putting ourselves out there, what are some guidance? What's some guidance that you have on how to sort of protect ourselves energetically? Because first of all, there's like, you know, there's a lot of bravery involved, particularly when we first start putting ourselves out there. What is some guidance that you have in, protecting ourselves energetically from that, with that?
Yeah, I think for me, and this is my personal approach, I generally don't write about something when I'm deep in the emotion of it, and other people take a completely different approach to that too, and so there's definitely no right or wrong answer there. For me personally, I process, this is just the way I am, I process things independently usually, or perhaps I'll discuss with, you know, a few trusted people in my life, tend to process it, and then the lesson or the moral of the story, I guess you could say, becomes clear to me after that. And I need to give that a little bit of time between, you know, going through whatever the experience is and then sharing it with my audience in a way that's going to be helpful for them as well. So I think, you know, protecting yourself energetically, just being clear on your intentions, and it doesn't, or I've just mentioned being helpful, it doesn't always have to be. I think we can get tripped up on the fact that every single piece of content we need to put out there has to be helpful or has to be a how-to or have a direct lesson. often it can be about trusting our audience enough that they will take the lesson or whatever they need, that nugget of wisdom, out of a story that's just a story. You know, we can just tell that story and say, take it as you will. We don't always have to have the 5 points, the five key takeaways at the end of it. So I just wanted to make that point there. But protecting yourself energetically, you know, ensure that you're in a nice centered place, that if there is negative criticism that comes from posting that, that you're okay to deal with that. You're not so deep in the emotion that it's really going to affect you in a negative way. Have a bit of perspective around the whole thing, and you know, if that resonates, to have a bit of distance between when the particular scenario that you're writing about has happened and sharing it publicly.
Yeah, totally. And I think for a lot of people, because everything you just said is so true. And I think that where some of the sort of the danger zones can that many of us can fall into, and I know that many of our solopreneur students and just lots of other people can fall into, I guess, is when we're sharing so much of ourselves out there on social media, and we're using it almost as like a counseling platform. And if we don't get the response that we were hoping for, or, you know, and there's this weird kind of seeking validation, seeking popularity, at the same time as seeking help. And I think it's when we start merging all of those things in together that is where we start to go into quite dangerous sort of places. And even I've noticed it definitely through the younger generation, through, you know, teenagers in my family and people like that who were posting just their whole lives on social media, and you know, when they've just broken up with their first boyfriend, or, you know, things like that, and they're like almost using their Facebook as a counseling platform, and I feel so deeply for them. But but then they're also kind of, you know, if they're not getting the likes on it that they want, or the comments and or the response that they want to it, then, you know, they're just so vulnerable and their heart, and they're just so, you know. So that's where I think that a big part of that is exactly what you said at first, which is, I love what you do of sort of waiting till you're through whatever it is, and then you can share the lessons and share the golden nuggets and share the experience from that perspective.
I think you know, don't be afraid to keep things sacred too. It doesn't take away from being an authentic creator or blogger or business owner. I think we can kind of get those two confused a little bit, but to be authentic, we need to share all of it, the mess and all the drama. Not necessarily. You can be authentic in any way, and you have a line that you can create for yourself where you'll share certain aspects and then you'll keep other things sacred. So I think that's something that I've talked about a lot with my blogging audience. They can get a little bit confused around this authenticity word, and think that it means that there needs to be all of it out on the table, when that's not necessarily the case. You get to choose what you share.
Yeah, definitely. And holding a few things back that you're not ready to share, I might not ever be ready to share, is not you being inauthentic. Yep. It's you just kind of knowing yourself. And I think a lot of this also comes through just doing it over time and just finding your way, because the line is different for different people. Mm-hmm. Some people are able to be more out there with their vulnerability and sharing their whole life story and the ins and outs and every detail of something that they've experienced. Whereas others, not so much. It's just, you know, we're all different. It's just a matter of you finding what's right for you. So, and further to that, now it doesn't happen to everyone, but it does happen to a lot of people. What is your guidance on handling negative comments or things that, and I'm not actually going to talk here about the whole troll thing. I'm talking more about negative comment, because the way that I see it, and we're too quick to kind of go, oh, that's they're just trolls. But the way that I personally see it is that trolls are people that they're not your audience. They're not anyone that's ever been interested in you or bought from you or cared about you. They're just people that create fake accounts to go and, you know, be negative and start fights. I'm talking, so that's what trolls is to me. Whereas negative, you know, comments or issues within online communities is more when someone that actually is regularly a, you know, supporter of your work, someone that's part of your community, but they're not happy with something that you've posted, they're not happy with something that you've said, you've maybe offended them. I don't think this is a big thing in for you particularly, Rach, but like from the people that you have mentored and your beautiful blog hire community, what is some guidance that you might have on that? Because I guess it's more about, if you know, receiving negative, the different, as I said, it's not about trolls, it's more about when you receive negative feedback from someone in your community, in your audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I love that distinction too, that the troll is generally someone who has no idea about, they haven't sort of gotten to know your heart, they haven't gotten to know who you are really, but
yeah,
someone passing by and they've seen something that triggered them, or they've just had a bad day or whatever it might be. And when it comes to those types of comments, you know, you have every right to delete them. That if it's troll, just delete
totally
and move on. That's totally fine. What you're talking about though is people who might have either misunderstood your message, or perhaps you are not communicating properly with them. And I think when there is that opportunity to provide more information, or understand someone from your audience a bit better, because as we see a lot of the time, that can actually strengthen and create a beautiful relationship when someone comes back and they feel heard by the blogger or the business owner. That can turn them into the hugest fan in their audience, because they feel like, okay, you responded to me, I've got a lot of respect for the way that you did that. I would say always be kind and gracious. And on the flip side to that, you know, hold strong too. You can hold strong in that conviction if you believe that you have communicated what you wanted to communicate in the best way possible, and yes, it may have triggered this person, but you stand behind it, because the danger is there if you're backtracking and changing things and saying, oh yes, I'm totally wrong and I've my bad and all of this, then the rest of your audience, they're observing that too, and there is the potential that they could lose a little degree of trust, because they might think, well, if you're backtracking so much on this, did you believe it in the first place?
Yeah.
Why did you share this with us? So that's just a little point there on be kind, be gracious, but also have conviction. I think communication is everything, right? So firstly, take a bit of time, have a breather, compose yourself before you respond. Remember that's out there. So I think, you know, have a little moment. You don't have to write back straight away. But to help that person feel acknowledged and heard, and like you've received their criticism, no matter how hard that might have been for you, you might say something like, I can see what you're saying, or I hear you, or I know what, I know what you're getting at here, but let me offer the rest of the context for this, you know, situation or whatever it might be. I think if we start there, then they will come back and they might provide some more insight, or they might have another response. And then you can go from there and you can start to see, is this person just being irrational, or can I learn something here? Is there something I can take away? You know, we're none of us are immune to being wrong. We all have times where we just don't get it right. That's cool. That's all part of learning and growing. And I think if you can approach it from that perspective and sort of take the higher ground, then everyone wins. And you have that opportunity, as I said before, to maybe establish a really beautiful, strong relationship with this person.
Totally. Totally. And we have seen that time and time again. So it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And continuing on from that, pretty much everything that we've already discussed is all contributing to really nurturing a beautiful relationship with our audience. And, mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I do want to mention here as well is that definitely with social media, I believe in quality over quantity. Like you can have, there can be people out there that have hundreds of thousands of people following them on social media, but they're not actually really that engaged. They maybe might like their photos popping up on Instagram or whatever every now and then, but they're not actually going to go in you know, buy their book or watch their videos or really engage with them in that way. So I think, you know, I'm much more interested, and we're all becoming much more interested in having those super engaged, you know, audiences. Now, you've nurtured, over the years, you've nurtured just such a beautiful community and such a beautiful following that are so engaged with you. But also not just online, but also offline, you're someone that is definitely respected and loved by your peers. You've got relationships, you know, strong relationships with people who would be perceived as the competitors, your competitors or whatever. can we talk for a moment? Because one big thing that you and I both have always agreed on is the importance of really genuine relationships, not just genuinely caring about your audience, but also genuine relationships with our peers and our fellow solopreneurs and writers and bloggers. So can you talk a little bit about why you believe that's so, so valuable and important for us?
Yeah, I think, do you know what, this probably comes back to me, a core belief I have or an ideal that I have, that I want us to rise together. I mean, it holds no appeal to me to be, you know, climbing up my own personal ladder of success and being at the top and being up there alone. I want to be there in the industry around me and have those people who are on the journey at the same time. I think that's what we're here for as humans. We're here to connect and have that sense of community and to lift each other higher and all of that. So for me, you know, there's sort of no separation between the work and the personal. It's like, these are the people that I, in choosing to have an online business, these are the people that are part of my network. And I want to take that deeper than just you being just a person that's on my mailing list or a person that happens to comment on my blog once in a while. It's deeper than that. And I think when we approach it from that perspective, business feels so much better. There's so much more fulfillment. And there's also that sense of pride for someone else. You know, watching a sister in the industry succeed is just as fulfilling and just, you know, lights you up just as much as doing it yourself. So really, yeah, I think it comes back to that for me. It's like, it can be a lonely path if we don't reach out and connect with others and know that we're not going this alone, because there's certainly the challenging times too. And I think if we keep our focus too laser focused, we forget that we're all just here doing our best and there's other people going through or have gone through the exact same things, and that you can reach out and call on for support, whether it's going well or whether you're having a challenging period too.
Totally. And so much of that really comes as well, doesn't it, from something that you and I are both big fans of, which is the in-person, in-the-flesh stuff. So both you and I, I've got it in the Soulpreneurs course, you've got it in Bloghearted, and both personally, we both would definitely love to sort of, you know, get offline and go and have a cup of tea with someone. So, you know, that, and that's a big part of it, isn't it, that you know, it doesn't mean that you need to physically see each other every week or even every month, but just occasionally getting offline and going and having a cup of tea with someone or going to an event with someone. It makes such a difference, doesn't it?
It does. And I think the conversations, there's just something different about the way a conversation rolls out in person. You can start at point A, and then getting to point B can be this very windy road, and you learn a lot about people. I mean, I had a catch up with my Bloghearted girls on the weekend, and one of the girls who was incredible but has never actually participated in the Facebook group, and she came along and I hadn't had the opportunity to get to know her online. So, and she came up to me and she said, "I just want to really thank you for this course and this Facebook group, because I've been in India for months now on, you know, a bit of a solo journey. And even though I don't participate in the group and I've been a bit shy to do so because, you know, I didn't feel that I had a blog set up yet and all that type of thing, even though I don't participate, even though I'm a lurker, I've just drawn so much inspiration from watching like-minded women go for their dreams, and it's actually helped me in so many different ways while I've been on this very transformative journey solo in India." And so I think you know, we might not have had that conversation online, but in person she came up to me and stood close and we gave each other a hug and she said, I just want to tell you something. And there was just this beautiful moment and I thought, this is the power of in person. There's just
totally
something different about it. So yeah, very powerful.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So beautiful.
And a final question, getting back onto social media, how do you set, so social media, the social media world is always changing and always, I mean, just, you know, it's like every week, every month, every day, things are changing. We've just had Instagram bring in Snapchat style stuff where you know, everything is changing all the time. What are your tips for kind of staying on top of it all? And do we need to?
Well, I think people will tell you about it because what you'll see, and it's like logging onto Instagram yesterday, everyone was talking about, is this the new Snapchat? So, I mean, it's hard to ignore it, really. It's probably in your face a little bit. But as far as staying on top of it, do you know, my tip is to just find a couple of mentors or a couple of bloggers or business owners that you respect and that you think that they're giving great value in, say, their newsletters or their podcasts or even their online programs, if they've got one, and just, you know, jump on board with their information and they will keep you up to date. And you can, I mean, there's so many Facebook groups, there's so many different blogs and things that you can Google these days. You probably would overwhelm yourself trying to keep on top of all of it. So just choose a handful and know that you will get, you know, the information you need will come to you in some way or another. There's plenty of people talking about any change or update to these social media platforms. So you won't miss
out. Totally. Totally. And who are the people that you sort of look to and respect
Follow?
The most? Yeah.
Yeah. I really love Amy Porterfield for, she just gives a great, she's got a podcast and she gives just a great overview in online business on the whole. So her expertise, previously she was sort of, her niche was Facebook marketing. So she's got that social media side. She's very on top of all of that. And now she's really expanded it out to online business and marketing on the whole and list building and that type of thing. So I really resonate with her. She's lovely. She gets great guests on her podcast. And I think that's the thing. If you get, if you have a podcast that you follow, generally they're going to be interviewing a whole bunch of experts that you can learn from, and it sort of goes from there. You can start following them as well. So yeah, Amy, Marie Folio is always wonderful, and she's got plenty of content to go through. People like Pat Flynn, he's all about the passive income, and he talks a lot about social media and blogging as well. There'd be a couple of recommendations.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rach. And
oh, my pleasure.
We could talk for hours and normally do. So trying to keep this one free for the podcast has been a first. But we're going to have lots more episodes coming up with Rach. So please remember to subscribe to Soulpreneur Sessions on iTunes. And you can also jump over to what are the best channels for people to stay in touch with you, Rach?
Well, if they head to my website, they can find all the buttons there for the social media. So that's at inspacesbetween.com.
Beautiful. And we'll include all the links on the blog post. So thank you, Rach.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your time and joining us here for Soulpreneur Sessions. Please remember to subscribe for updates and share this episode with your friends. Soulpreneur Sessions are created especially for you to live your highest purpose. So please let us know what future episodes, topics, or guests would be most helpful for you. Or if you do want more info right now about the Soulpreneur courses and coaching available to you, please visit soulpreneurs.com or email us at team@soulpreneurs.com. We love you. Have a beautiful day and we will catch you next time.